Our private investigators say, where did this child go? He says, look, I traced it all the way to Pakistan. It's there in somebody's family there in Pakistan, but there's no way to know how, who, have no way of getting your child back. All right, now, you think about your child. Being raised in Pakistan, now you define what you consider a good enough chance for this person to get saved. You define it. How about this? Is the chance that God wants everybody to have, is this chance, would it be satisfactory to you knowing your child is going to get the same chance? This little baby that you saw last when it was 2 years old and now is 18. And now you're praying for it. Oh God, help this child. This is my baby and somebody else is raising it. Lord, save my baby. How in the world then? What is going to satisfy you? What's the chance that will satisfy? How about, Lord, would you pray, Lord, let somebody in social studies class or anthropology class explain the basic tenets of Christianity to him. Would that satisfy you? Would you say, that's good, that's good. If one time in his life somebody explained the basic beliefs of Christianity to this child, that wouldn't satisfy me. Not my child. No, that's not good enough. I mean, that's a chance. That is a chance. I mean, that is an opportunity. But that's not good enough for me. All right. Let's go on down. Let's go down a little bit. How about, would you say, Lord, put one church in their town. One evangelical church in their town of 3 or 4 million. Is that good enough for you? For your child? Do you think that is a good enough chance for those people out there? Is that a good enough chance for them to be saved? If it's your baby that you're thinking that you're losing. No, it's not for me. All right, let's get closer to home. How about a newspaper ad? How about you say, Lord, please let him go into a barbershop where there is a newspaper that has a gospel ad in it. Is that good enough for you? It's not good enough for me, people. I'm telling you, I've thought about this. This chance to get saved, you know, it starts to get really close to home when you start thinking about, what about your little baby? If that's the only way, only possibility that this person is going to hear the gospel, is that a good enough chance? No, it's not a good enough chance, not for us. But have you ever eased your conscience thinking, well, there's a chance for them. They got a chance now. Didn't they get a chance? Yeah, they sure did. They heard? Yeah, in Russia. Isn't that true, Natasha? They heard about the basic tenets of Christianity when you studied in school. You heard all the basic tenets of Christianity, didn't you? Didn't they tell you? Oh, you didn't even hear that, see? Well, that wouldn't have been enough, I'll tell you. If you'd have heard it in school, that would not have been enough. All right. How about a personally delivered tract? Somebody actually walks up to the guy on the street and hands him a tract. That good enough? Does that satisfy you for your little baby that you've lost? No, it doesn't. I wonder just how much would satisfy you before you'd say, yeah, Lord, he's had his chance. Let him go. I'm done with him. I gave him his chance. It ain't enough for you here in the States. You wouldn't put up with that. You'd make sure your kid got a lot more chance than that. How about a gospel message delivered by a fireball street preacher out there begging somebody to come to God? Would that do it? Is that what you want? Yeah, that's what you want, but it's still not enough. How about a Christian acquaintance or friend, especially one that actually lives a personal demonstration of Christianity at its best? Is that enough? What do you mean by a chance to be saved? What do you mean? All of these things are only different by a small degree. Where do you draw the line and say, we've done our job? We got the world evangelized. Everybody on earth got a chance. Where are you going to draw the line? Where are you going to put it down and say, that's enough, right there. We did it. Come on back, Lord. We're done. When you pointed at yourself, or how about those poor people in hell right now thinking about their babies growing up, and now they know, they see. They think about their babies growing up, and they see us here in the church saying, well, at least everybody who really was sincere, they get their chance. Yeah, they get their chance. Jesus said they had a chance. If they never hear the gospel, they had a chance. They could have come seeking. Right. Couldn't have they? You see, if we use that type of philosophy that everybody gets a chance, or we're going to make sure everybody gets a chance, we're done already. Let's go home. Let's buy brand new TVs and brand new cars and brand new everything. Let's just live it up. Why? Because everybody's already got a chance. Everybody's got already got a chance, depending on how you define, how you loosely define this chance. The only chance that satisfies me is the gospel accompanied by God's power to persuade.
Amen.
Every preacher knows, every pastor in this room knows, everyone that's come through these doors, they know. Sometimes the gospel is weak and ineffective. And sometimes the gospel is powerful. And when the gospel touched you, it was powerful. It broke in on you, my goodness, like the sun after a thunderstorm. It was powerful. That's the only chance that I'm satisfied with. Break in on them with power. All right, what makes the gospel powerful? There are sometimes it's ineffective due to circumstances in the hearer. Yes, like it says, the gospel not mixed with faith. Yes, it says that. Also weakness in the preacher. I could go to some effort to prove all these things to you. I think most of us understand these things. I believe that if you were honest, you would say that if it was up to your loved ones, you would be unsatisfied with all the choices that would ease your conscience about somebody else. You would be unsatisfied. You would say, I want more. Now let's go to the second section in that, Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 8. It says, for my servants' sakes. The gospel cannot be separated from the people who preach or send it. It cannot be separated from them. You see, because the chance we're talking about, this thing that we know God wants every single person in the on the earth to hear, this chance, this opportunity that we are sure when He said go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, He didn't say go and make sure you put a gospel ad in every paper. And believe me, I'm not against gospel ads in every paper. I would like every single newspaper ever printed, ever comes out, to have a full-page gospel ad in it. I think that would be superb and great. I think that's an excellent place for you to put your money. If you've got a few million to put in there, I think that would really be very valuable and useful. I am not against this. But I'm telling you, the gospel must be carried with power. Power. And I try to figure out, what is this power? What is this power? Here it says, for my servants' sakes. It amazes me that Brother Milton Martin spoke three times on intercession. And this thing has been on my mind. I preached at Aguas Calientes just a couple of weeks ago. For my servants' sakes. I'm not so good at titles. I'm not like Willie Cosby, who can come up with all the same first letter for all my points. So I'll just call this the sake thing. We have the... This is the sake thing, okay? Isn't it amazing what God does for somebody's sake? You look in the Bible, how many times is something done for... I only wrote down a few. Matter of fact, I didn't get much past Genesis, but just let me mention them to you. Abraham prayed for Abimelech. And yet, Abraham did wrong. For Abraham's sake, God spared Abimelech. When old Abraham didn't exactly talk up and up with him. Wasn't straight with the guy. But God said, okay, for Abraham's sake. Abraham prayed for you. You're okay. Abraham's sake. He says he'd bless Isaac's seed. He came to Isaac and said, I will bless your seed for Abraham's sake. Laban says, oh, don't leave me. Don't leave me. I can tell by experience that I have been blessed for your sake. For Jacob's sake. Did you know it says that Potiphar's house was blessed tremendously for Joseph's sake? And it says over there in Matthew, just one off the top of my head, the parable of the tares and the wheat. He says, don't pull up the tares yet, lest you do some damage to the wheat. You see, what I'm trying to get across here is that God works after this principle for somebody else's sake.
Amen.
He says they are enemies concerning the gospel, but they are greatly beloved for the Father's sake. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, wait a minute. Do you know that it's possible that God might move in power for my sake? Is it possible that we can intercede for souls? That we can intercede for people? That we can stand, like Brother Milton was saying, between the living and the dead? Is it possible that those that we set our eyes on, that God would say, for your sake, I'm going to do that? Well, let's see. What about Abraham for Sodom? Didn't he intercede for a group of people? Didn't he say, Abraham drew near. He heard what's going to happen, and the Lord's walking off. He's getting off. He's starting to disappear into the mist of the morning. And when he heard what he's going to do, he took off. He drew near. He said, Lord, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Lord, what if there's 50 or 45 or 40 or 30 or 20 or 10? And God says, if I find 10, I'll spare them for the 10's sake. I like that word, sake. How about Job? Doesn't it say that Job said in his heart, it may be that my sons have cursed God in their hearts. And so he interceded for his sons because they might have sinned against God in their hearts. Isn't that intercession for souls? Isn't that someone saying, I care about this person and I'm going to intercede to God for this person? I'd never thought about it like Brother Milton said, praying for an entire nation or praying for as intercession. I think of intercession as a personal involvement, or like Dad says, a personal investment that we have in certain people. And our personal investment in those people, and that is an intercession. And yet I suppose it would also apply to an entire nation, that you could pray and intercede for an entire nation. If Job could pray for those who were close to him, Moses for Israel in Numbers 14, Samuel for Israel, saying, God forbid that I should sin in ceasing to pray for you. Jesus for the Jews on the cross says, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Stephen for the Jews in Acts chapter 7, who says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Lay not this sin to their charge. And then last, perhaps the most known, Paul for Israel says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. My heart's desire. Oh, this Paul was the one who could say that I have continuous sorrow. I could almost wish myself accursed for my brethren, which are my kinsmen after the flesh. You know what I see here is a pattern developed that God is making special provision for people for somebody's sake. Now, I wonder sometimes, whose sake was it that made the Lord persuade me, or that gave me such tremendous grace and blessing? Whose sake? Was it my father's? Or perhaps was it some ancestors back down that had said, Lord, remember my children. Remember this one. Remember that one. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But it thrills me to think that I have now the boldness to walk up to the throne of grace and can claim with this confidence, God, save this person, and know that God is listening to me for my sake. That He would actually consider my children. And you know something? I don't know if you ever do this, but I'd say you ought to start. I think you ought to give your children to God. Have you ever gone through the times when people in the Bible gave their children to God? Perhaps the most common understanding of this is Hannah gave her child to God. Just gave him to him. Said, here, as long as he lives, he's lent to the Lord. Have you ever given your children to God? There's many, many instances of this. Not just Hannah. You ought to give your children to God. says over there in 1 Corinthians 7, it says that the family is sanctified by the believer. It actually says that. An unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. And the children would be unclean if she left him. That's amazing. That's a real thought. I honestly believe that God saves souls because of the intercession of His saints. I believe that God moves in power wherever the gospel is preached because of the intercession of the preacher or the intercession of the saints. I believe that. I believe that the gospel can be carried with power wherever we go if people would intercede for those lost people. Now, I do not believe that it makes much sense to just pray like sometimes, and I'm not trying to criticize anybody's prayer, but sometimes I've heard, Lord, save everybody in the world. You know, I'm not sure that that's the kind of intercession he's talking about. I believe that there should be some type of emotional investment in someone or some type of a loving, a compassion, and there are other requirements. I'm not going to go into them all, but let me just deal here with several reasons for poor intercession among us. Poor intercession. First of all, I think there's a lack of faith among us about this intercession. A lack of faith. I do not believe that many people believe in intercession for people. Or they would say, some people are too hard. Some people are too hard for God. Who's too hard for God? If nothing else, He can make him live for a long time until he cracks. I mean, He's the one who decides when the guy goes. He can just keep on going. Nobody can outlast God, even if they can resist Him for a while. Nobody can outlast Him. Who is too hard for God? Have you given up? Isn't that what Milton says? He says, man, what happened to God? You say, some fields are just too closed. Some ground is just too hard. I tell you, that's not true. Or it's too late. No, for him it's too late. How about for America it's too late? You can't have no revival in America. It's too late. People have told me that. They've honestly told me that, believing it. It's too late for America. Never be another big revival in America. No way. It's too late. I don't believe that. That's a lack of faith. That's the reason why you're a very poor interceder. Because you don't believe what God can do. Who would have guessed that Paul, Saul of Tarsus, would have ever believed? Who? Who would have said, I can tell you what, next year, I imagine old Saul of Tarsus is going to come with us. They'd all said, you are nuts. But Saul of Tarsus was not too hard for God. God can crush the most resistant person. Why don't you intercede for that person?
Amen.
All right, how about lack of confidence? I say, who am I to ask for these people? I mean, why would God listen to me? Why should I argue on their behalf? I mean, who am I? Well, let me tell you something. There's nobody else.
That's right.
You are the only one. One thing we try to instill in those that we're teaching how to preach in Mexico is that you are their only hope. Preach like it. Pray like it. You are their only interceder. It's very possible that some of the people you work with, there's not another Christian in the whole wide world that's praying for them. There's nobody that cares for their soul. Nobody at all. Why don't you care for their soul? Why don't you intercede for them? Do you have such a lack of confidence that you don't believe you are the one that can do it? You don't think you can persuade God who is so ready to be persuaded? You don't think you could persuade God if you just spend more time praying for people that you'd save them? Or someone says, God has already given me so much. I'm just ashamed to ask for too much. Wasn't it Jesus that says, he that's been given much, he'll get more.
Amen.
And he that lost what he's got, everything's going to be taken away from him. Man, God's not afraid to shower. Didn't he say, David, I gave you this, I gave you that, I gave you wives, I gave you your master's wives, I gave you so many wives, you can't count them all. I gave you riches. I gave you honor. I established your kingdom. I won your battles for you. And if that wasn't enough, I'd have given you more.
Amen.
Wasn't it the Good Samaritan that said, if he spends anything else, I'll pay it when I get back. That's just plain lack of confidence in God. And then, wasn't it God that implored us to ask? He just implored us. He begged us to ask Him. Ask me. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Ask me, He says. He says, ask me. How many times? I started to write some down. Oh, I couldn't get through with them all. In Matthew 18, He says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them. Matthew 7, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Matthew 21, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive.
Amen.
How can He make it any clearer? John 14, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Verse 14, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Chapter 15, verse 7, ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. 15:16, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. 16:23, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Verse 24, ask, and ye shall receive. Ask, and ye shall receive. Why so little confidence? And for crying out loud, why, when God says ask, would you ask for a new boat? He says, ask. I will do it. And you say, Lord, a better job. You say, Lord, pay my debts. Lord, I got this pain in my side. Lord, I'm tired. Oh, Lord, I need some help. Lord, I'm discouraged. Lord, my wife's not doing right. Lord, I want a boyfriend. Lord, I want a girlfriend. I can see God saying, who do you want? Who do you want? Start asking me. Ask me. Ask me, He says. Ask me! And we sit there and ask Him such trivial, insignificant, unimportant, even selfish, even wicked things. Oh, Lord, protect our freedom here. Oh, Lord, protect our economy. Oh, Lord, that there'd be less unemployed. All right, all those things are great. All those things are great. I'm not against that. You got those things? I think God wants you to ask everything. But, oh, I do believe God wants people who are mature enough to ask what He wants.
Amen. There
are many things that hinder our intercessions. I'm not going to go into them just because I don't have time. But I believe that sin hinders your intercession.
Amen.
Unbelief.
Amen.
Fear.
Amen. Right.
A lack of diligence.
Right. Yeah.
And a lack of compassion.
Amen.
And I suspect that the power behind the gospel is limited only by our desire, our faith, our love, our diligence. God's hand is not short that He cannot save. There's something wrong with us if the gospel goes out without power. Where is our intercession? Where is our pleading for souls? Where is our compassion for those who are lost?
Amen.
I'll tell you, they're not our babies. They're not our brothers. That old song, he says, don't you see our brothers and our sisters sinking down? I see them sinking down. Brethren, pray that holy manna will be showered all around.